Hello, and welcome back to The Accidental Curator, episode 18. My name is George Bathgate, and it's April the 17th, 2024. And I'm coming to you from my home office in Kitsilano. I'm just gearing up to reopen my art gallery over on Main Island, Shavasana Art Gallery and Cafe, in a couple of days. But I thought I'd take a moment to put together a new podcast, because it's been a long time. I think I said in my last podcast I was going to be doing this every month. Well, that just didn't happen. Life gets in the way. Christmas, a little January blues, you know, just things. And I've actually been quite busy. I'm working on a second book. I think if you'd tuned into the last episode, you would have heard me mention that I'd created a book last year called All Roads at Any Time. And I'm doing a follow-up book. You know, it's a short, a book of short stories. The first one was 12. This one might be 13 or 14. And so I'm writing new material, and I've got about 10 of the 12 or 13 stories that are going into the second book. So that's been keeping me occupied, but I really wanted to get at least one more podcast out before my busy season starts in May. For the Art Gallery Cafe, it's pretty much a May through October busy gig, and the last few years have been the busiest yet, so I don't anticipate that 2024 is going to be much different. So hope you're all well. And again, I just never really know who's listening in, but there's a small gaggle of you that tune in, so I appreciate that. It just feels good. I mean, it's like any creative endeavor. You know, you have to enjoy the act of creating, whether it's art, writing, or podcasting. There's just a certain thing. I enjoy putting things together, working with GarageBand, and coming up with some material for you. And so it's not an unpleasant experience, and I like keeping the mind active, learning new software and stuff like that. But anyway, long story short, episode 18, and this is called The Fourth Corner. And I wrote this story, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I just edited it recently, made a few edits to make it sort of podcast worthy. And it will also be in this new book that I'm working on. It'll be in the second book of short stories. And I haven't come up with a title for the new book of short stories, so that's weighing on my mind. I'm playing with various things, but just nothing is settled yet. Anyway, it's a beautiful day out there, and I wanted to get this podcast done. It's morning on the 17th, and I've got a bunch of things I got to do. So I'm doing this in the early morning. Well, it's not early. It's like 9:24. So getting this off, one more thing off the plate, as they say, and then heading off to do my other tasks for the rest of the day, which will include a bit more writing. So I'm going to launch in. This one's called The Fourth Corner. Can you help me with this flagstone? It's a bit unwieldy. It was the spring of 2004, and I decided to transform my yard into a thing of beauty. Several tons of gorgeous, flat, golden sandstone rocks for pathways and walls, several pallets of pavers for the backyard patio, and enough cedar 4x4s, 2x10s, and antique wrought iron lay scattered about for me to fulfill my vision. An inviting three-step stone staircase, bisecting a low 30-foot-wide stone wall with a lovely cedar trellis archway, leading to a winding flagstone path into the backyard, where the patio would await the fun that was to come. And it did. This was my post-marital home, which I'd purchased a few years prior, in the 2800 block of West 17th Avenue in Kitsilano. My ex-wife lived a short 5-minute walk away in our family home at 14th and Waterloo, and we divided parental responsibilities willingly and comfortably between us. It was a sweet little neighborhood that I'd found myself in, with happy, kind, and forgiving neighbors who put up with my sometimes overzealous habit of people, parties, and late-night jamming as long as they were sometimes included. On this warm spring Saturday morning, several friends, my son and my partner Kathy, were scurrying about, performing various helpful tasks, as I concentrated on the vision and the heavy labor, breaking apart the existing walkway with a sledgehammer and crowbar, while attempting to ignore the hangover which had lodged itself somewhere between my bindi and my man bun. Neighbors Liz and Darren were out doing a little garden work. Simon and Fandy had politely asked what I was doing before they hopped in their car to go shopping. Eros, who lived several doors east, had wandered over to see what was going on and to give advice. And Maureen, who lived several doors west, stared balefully at our activities as if it were another imposition coming from Noisy George, the guy who parties too much, which, in all frankness, I did. In that moment, all was good. Everything and everyone on our little neighborhood stage was happily fulfilling their small, scripted roles in a busy and predictable manner. Birds chirped, dogs barked, gardeners gardened, neighborly pleasantries and advice were received and given, and the huff and puff of my hard-working team landscape was filtered through bad puns and good-natured banter. And then, from down the block, came the unexpected, bliss-arresting sound of high-pitched screeching, a noise that even Maureen would later agree was more irritating than my late-night jam sessions, as the squealing tires of a speeding, out-of-control vehicle fought with the too-late application of slammed-on brakes to successfully navigate the curve in the road heading south on McDonald at 17th. Collectively, we looked up, craned our necks, dropped wheelbarrows full of bricks, mouths agape to watch as a careening, late-model silver Toyota Tacoma truck slammed into the curb, leapt up, and then, almost airborne, cleared the sidewalk, gouging a path through the front yard grass, knocking down the ornamental Japanese maple, only to smash through the pyramidalis hedge on its unstoppable train wreck into the backyard and beyond. We stood momentarily transfixed, as the sound of the truck crash carnage seemed to go on, with additional crunching, squealing, and crashing happening now out of view. When it stopped, several of us ran toward the accident to see if anyone was injured or needed help. Liz and I arrived together at the opening in the pyramidalis hedge and climbed over the fallen bushes and made our way towards the truck, which had continued on its destructive path all the way through the corner property's front and backyard, through their back fence, and was now lodged under the back door neighbor's deck, having snapped a couple of weight-bearing 4x4s, collapsing the deck onto the hood of the truck, which, amazingly, was still running at full throttle, stuck with blue smoke billowing from the spinning tires. On my way to the truck, dodging broken bushes, destroyed flower beds, and smashed garden gnomes, I noticed that there had been a large plastic multicolored children's play center directly in the path of destruction, which now lay strewn in pieces about the yard, with part of the red kiddie slide visibly stuck under the trapped truck. When I arrived at the passenger side of the truck, my first instinct was to get on my hands and knees to peer at the undercarriage to see if any children had been dragged along with the slide. Fortunately, my fears were not realized, and all I could see was a snowball of branches, garden plants, cedar fence pickets, and one red, badly mangled kiddie slide. Looking inside the cab, I could see that there were no passengers, just the driver, who appeared to be having some kind of medical emergency, either a heart attack or a seizure, and was sitting stiffly, rigidly, eyes wide open, hands on the wheel, with his foot still pressed down, pedal to the metal on the gas. The passenger door was locked, but luckily, Liz was able to open the driver's side, reach in, and turn off the ignition. The noise stopped, and the blue smoke abated as we tried vainly to communicate with the driver, who was barely responsive. Neither owners of the two damaged corner properties were home to provide quick calls to emergency services, and cell phones were not as ubiquitous as they are now. But fortunately, Liz's husband, Darren, had made the call while Liz and I were running to the crash scene, and the sound of approaching ambulances, fire trucks, and police vehicles could be heard. We began to shed some of our adrenaline. The ambulance took the driver away. We gave some brief statements to the cops, and a tow truck arrived with the awkward task of extricating the Toyota from the mess. "Good thing that didn't happen on a weekday," said Liz. "Carnarvon Elementary is just a block away, and a lot of kids cross right there at the corner." "God, yeah," I said. "That would have been a disaster." "And a good thing the family wasn't home, too," I said. "I hate to think what might have happened if their kids were playing on that play center." We both paused to reflect on how the magnitude of this accident was so random before we wandered back to our respective lives and chores. That was the southwest corner. The first corner. "Ah," I said, taking a sip of my 16-ounce dark roast with a bit of milk and settling into the comfy faux leather armchairs at Bruno's Corner Cup Cafe at 4th and Blenheim on Kitsilano. "Best coffee on the west side." "Can't argue with that," said Jordy, a good friend and regular at the Cup's morning coffee crew. "What else you got?" he added whimsically. 12 years have elapsed. It's autumn 2016, and the habitués of the morning coffee shift were congregating at Bruno's for their daily hot cups of Sumatran and oft good conversation. The cute little house on 17th Avenue with its beautiful landscaping job are gone, sold during the economic downturn of 2008, and replaced with a rental bungalow at the corner of 6th and Blenheim, making Bruno's the closest and best coffee shop of choice. Hangovers are just a memory as I celebrate my 4 years of continued sobriety. The advertising sales job of 04 has been replaced by a gallery cafe business on Main Island, and at least one, if not more, of the faithful landscaping team have sadly, tragically passed on. The iPhone 3 of 2004 has evolved into a 6 Plus, and I'm adjusting to the larger size. "Don't you find it awkward?" said Paul, another coffee circle regular. "I like to stick my 4 in my pocket." "Not really. I've gotten used to it," I replied. "In spring and summer, it fits nicely into one of my cargo shorts pockets. And in colder weather, I always find a coat pocket large enough. And I like the larger screen." Jordy and another regular, Chris, sip their Joe and listen politely to our mundane, everyday conversation. We are the morning crew, the early shift, if you will. Music played softly from the overhead speakers, competing for our attention with the ear-damaging coffee grinder and high-pitched espresso machine with its steamed milk attachment, kicking it up a notch to give staff long-term hearing loss. Other locals appeared looking for muffins, breakfast sandwiches, and newspapers. We were not readers or eaters. We were the comfy naugahyde armchair-coveting, coffee-guzzling conversationalists. And from our strategic vantage point, we had the best view of 4th Avenue with its increasingly heavy traffic volume at its controlled pedestrian crossing at Blenheim and the southeast corner, the second corner. I don't remember what we were talking about, and in fact, it likely wasn't important, nor germane to this little story. But what we all agreed upon was that the distant sound of sirens seemed to be getting louder and louder, and was soon to pass our field of vision, racing east on 4th Avenue. Events unfolded rather quickly. Moments before the police cars appeared, a light metallic green, late model Toyota Corolla burst onto the scene, careening impossibly fast to successfully navigate the 90-degree corner turn it was attempting to make up Blenheim Street, lost control of the vehicle, jumped the curb, and crashed through the 5-foot-high cedar fence which ringed the entire 4-story corner apartment building. Speed and momentum kept the auto projectile crashing through 3 or 4 of the small 10-foot-by-8-foot ground-level patios with their planters, blue vinyl Adirondack chairs, knickknacks, bicycles, and barbecues. Everyone at Bruno's, even Bruno, stopped what they were doing. Whether mid-sip, mid-pour, or mid-opinion, rose to their collective feet and rushed outside as the prospect of a terrible live-action accident incident seemed for the moment vastly more interesting than dissecting Donald Trump's latest verbal indignity. Although, as we were all soon to sadly discover, Trumpian indignities would get far more mileage than the now totally totaled Toyota smoking on a patio across the street. The police car, lights flashing and sirens now silence, screeched to a stop, blocking Blenheim as 2 officers flung open their doors, jumped from the vehicle, and raced toward the crash scene, obviously in pursuit of their prey, in what now appeared to be the getaway vehicle. And indeed, from the far end of the apartment property, we could see a youngish guy, maybe in his early 30s, climb over the cedar fence, run east on 4th, and then duck into another property half a block down, in an effort to avoid capture. More sirens wailed in the distance as other patrol cars raced in response to the event in progress. Because we had great window view seats, and the cops seemed to have everything in hand, and none of us had the jaws of life to help remove the second hoodlum, who was apparently trapped in the getaway car, we went back inside to watch the drama in comfort, to speculate, and most importantly, to get back to our coffees before they cooled off any further. We definitely had our priorities sorted out. "Probably 2 guys fleeing from a robbery in a stolen car," said Chris. "This city is getting edgier." "Looked like 2 guys out for a joyride that went wrong," said Geordie. "Not a lot of robbery going on in Kitsilano. We live in a bubble." "Good thing there were no pedestrians at that corner," I said, "or anyone hanging out on their patios. Wrong time of day, I guess." "Reminds me of a car crash I witnessed at 17th and McDonald back in 04, I began, as Paul interjected. "Maybe it was a guy racing his friend to the hospital because he had had a heart attack." This made us all pause and reflect for a moment on the various places our minds had gone. And not gone. "Nah, I doubt it," said Chris. "Why would he be running away like that?" We all nodded our heads in agreement. "Did you hear what Trump said last night on CNN?" asked Chris. "There's no way he's going to win the presidency next month. He's such a dick." This was the southeast corner. The second corner. Now, it's November 30th, 2020, a Monday, and we are 9 months into the global coronavirus pandemic. Canada has just had one of its worst daily new caseload days at 6,103 cases, and numbers appear to be rising everywhere. Governments worldwide are attempting to respond to the real or perceived health crisis with business closures, mask mandates, distancing, science and sanitizers, and God and guesswork. It's not a fun time to be running a little coffee shop in Kitsilano. Staff layoffs, no indoor seating, and takeout only made for drastic income reductions. But, thanks to government largesse, a supportive clientele, Bruno's roll-up-your-sleeves work ethic, and a small, slightly covered outdoor seating area, Bruno was optimistic that he'd be able to keep the corner cup sputtering along. "Thank God I've still got covered outdoor seating," he said. "People still want to go out, grab a coffee, sit somewhere that's not wet, and socialize." We are 3 weeks into a Biden presidency, but this win will not come easily, with recounts, challenges, and allegations of ballot rigging and fraud coming from the former president and his followers. "Stop the steal" will soon enter our lexicon, and much worse to come. Despite all of this distraction, and perhaps more importantly, it was Bruno's 50th birthday. Now, many lesser men may have taken a well-deserved break after 9 grueling months of ever-changing pandemic rules and restrictions, the dreary and furtive uncertainty, the 8, 9, or 10-hour fully masked retail shifts, with diminished income and life-threatening work, a kind of barista hell. But Bruno was committed to his craft. He had loyal customers who still needed his coffee and his muffins, so he would get out of bed, kiss the wife goodbye, hop in his car, and drive the 40-kilometer, hour-long commute from Coquitlam to open his corner cup coffee house in Kitsilano. And we, his loyal and appreciative customers, nay, his fans, were glad he did. But today was to be a different kind of day. Not a day of cakes and candles, gifts and best wishes, but a day that will take Bruno's mind off pandemics, presents, and presidents. Today was the day of the third corner. The drive in from Coquitlam was taking a bit longer than usual. Traffic was bad, there was a light rain, and a fender bender on the Barnett was adding 15 or 20 minutes to his usual one-hour slog. But Bruno wasn't worried. His trustworthy nephew, Matteo, was working with him now and had agreed to open up the cup so Bruno could have a slightly more relaxing start to his special day. Plus, he was listening to some chill tunes on his favorite radio station, Jack 96.9, and he knew that his wife had some kind of birthday surprise planned for when he got home later that night. It was all good. After all, of his regular staff had either been let go or resigned during the mass pandemic purge of employees during the closures of 2020, a Canada-wide, if not global, phenomena, Bruno had managed to convince his nephew Matteo to pick up some shifts as the cafe slowly sputtered back to life. We were no longer at the fearfully hand coffee wearing plastic gloves through a plexiglass hole at the front door of the cafe, to equally fearful masked, sanitized, and distanced customers using only credit cards because touching money might mean instant death phase. So now, customers could actually enter the cafe, masked, sanitized, distanced, and fearful, but get their coffee at the cash register rather than in the rain at the front door, and go and sit outside in the cold and rain. A vast improvement. On this day, Matteo had arrived at about 6:45 to get the ball rolling for an 8 a.m. open. He didn't expect to see Uncle Bruno until about 8:30. Don't forget to wish him a happy birthday, he thought, and don't say anything about the surprise party. It was the same drill every day. Turn on heat and lights, hot water and espresso machine, grind the dark and medium roast for the drip machines, turn on the drip coffee machine and put enough coffee into the filter for the process, make sure the bathroom is clean, remove covers from the baked good display case, get milk and cream containers ready, turn on the music. It was somewhere around this moment in the hour-long opening process when Matteo's concentration was broken by the sound of a car, tires screeching as it tried, unsuccessfully, to navigate its turn from 4th Avenue north onto Blenheim, and turned just in time to watch the 15-foot shade tree on the small boulevard beside the cafe crash through the large plate glass window beside the front door, knocked down by an out-of-control white 2015 BMW i3. Jesus, gasped Matteo, as he ran towards the door, dodging shards of glass that spilled over the floor of the cafe. He scanned the sidewalk as he reached for the glass door to see if anyone had been hit by the car or the falling tree. Several people that had been waiting at the nearby bus stop also ran over to see if the driver needed help or if anyone had been hit. The driver of the BMW, shaken but uninjured, emerged from the vehicle, shaking his head and feeling his shoulder where the seatbelt had given him a jolt during the sudden stop. "You okay, man?" asked Matteo. "Yeah, good thanks, I think," he replied. "Better than my car, or your window," as he surveyed the scene of the accident. "Not sure how I screwed up that turn. I've done it dozens of times," he continued. "Road's a bit slippery. Might have been momentarily distracted," he said, which is code for looking at cell phone, but I'm reluctant to admit to anything that might engender a ticket. As he got his story straight before the police arrived, which would be soon, judging by the approach of sirens. "Well, you and our regular customers are lucky you didn't arrive half an hour later," said Matteo. "There's usually a small lineup of regulars at the cafe before we open at 8, which is like right now." he said, as the usual coffee zombies were making their way to Bruno's, rain or shine, for their daily cup of joe. The lovely little shade maple lay forlornly, branches poking through Bruno's window and covering one of the outdoor tables where we habitually sat, having also knocked over the outdoor metal chairs. "People sit right there," said Mateo. "Jesus," said the driver as he rubbed his chin and pondered circumstance. I arrived just as the tow truck was removing the BMW, and a city crew was cutting up and removing the tree. The driver, after giving his statement to the police and turning down any need for medical assistance, walked the last few blocks to his home on 2nd Avenue. "Well, this isn't the surprise I expected on my birthday," said a familiar voice. "Oh, hey, Bruno," I said, turning. "Little fender bender. Car lost control and knocked down the shade maple onto your outdoor table. No one's hurt. Oh, and hey, bud, happy birthday." "Yeah, happy birthday, Bruno," chimed in Mateo and the other regulars who were standing around gawking. "As if running this joint during a pandemic isn't shitty enough, now I gotta spend my day getting a new window." "Geez, I'd give you a big hug, Bruno, but I think it's against the law," I said as everybody laughed. "Mateo, you got the coffee up and running?" asked Bruno. "Let's get these monkeys their coffee so they can get on with their day, just like we have to do." "Great idea, Bruno," we all chimed in. "Hey," said Jordy, "maybe talk to Carly's partner, Matthew. I know he does window repair." This was the northwest corner, the third corner. Epilogue. This story is an illustration and is not meant to give you a fear of corners. We never know exactly when we are standing on our own allegorical fourth corner. That being said, whatever corner we find ourselves on at any time of life, allegorical or otherwise, looking in all directions for greater clarity would appear to be wise counsel. Except, of course, for that northeast corner at McDonald and Broadway in Kitsilano. The one with the bend in the road, where cars come hurtling down McDonald, heading north as they speed up to try and beat the red light, turning just in the nick of time before they lose control of their vehicles and plunge into the crowd of pedestrians waiting to cross. This is the fourth corner, and it's the beast. It should be approached with utmost caution, fear, and loathing. You're welcome. Okay, folks, that's about it for episode 18, the fourth corner. And again, I'm George Bathgate. I hope that wasn't too off-putting for you. I just was describing some accidents that I've been witness to or near at some point in my life. And I imagine many of you out there have had similar experiences. You know, we go through these things. You live long enough, you're going to see a car crash. That's all there is to it. Because the world's full of cars and people are crazy drivers sometimes. It is still April the 17th and it's still morning time and sunny. So I am going to go enjoy my day. But I did want to mention to you again, this is a little pitch session. But I did want to mention again that I do have that book available for anyone that's interested or anyone that hasn't purchased yet. It's only $19.95. And ideally, if you're interested, you would purchase it from my website, which is clayandbone, all one word, .com. And on the homepage, there's a link at the top in the menu that says the name, the title of the book, which is All Roads at Any Time. And you can click on that, and within that link, it's a one-page thing, and it shows you how to purchase on either Square or PayPal. And as I mentioned, I'm working on a second book, and I think today's podcast will go into the second book, The Fourth Corner. I like this story. I think it's a good one, and amongst many others. So hope you're all well, and have a great day. I'm going to take off and do my other work right now. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.